I call to order the Simpsonville City Council business meeting of March the 10th, 2026. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember O'Rear.
Here.
Councilmember Root.
Here.
Councilmember Williams. Member Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Tuso.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you're able and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Presentations. We are going to begin with 4A, Heart Huddle AED Awareness through AED Placement and CPR Education. And Mr. Davis, would you come to the lectern to start this off, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mayor, Council Members, Mr. Coker, Clerk Clark. Thank you all for letting us be on the agenda tonight. We'll have some exciting news here in a few minutes, but I'm going to give a quick intro before I turn it over to the main heroes here tonight. But I will first want to thank Chief Nichols for allowing his staff to be here, his emergency personnel and firefighters here. And I'll say these gentlemen over here tonight were on the field tonight. We had a medical issue, and we are so proud. They are all our heroes, and I want to make sure we give them a round of applause when we end this thing tonight, because they were well-deserved. And from a recreation department, I can't thank you enough, guys. We appreciate you. Just a little intro before I turn it over to Mr. Shaw and Mr. Carter. On September 17th of last year, I received a call that we had a problem at Gracely Park. Now, the first thing I'm thinking of is two coaches are fighting or an umpire or something like that. But they said, no, we had a medical issue. And I always assume a child broke arm, broke leg, but they said, no, one of our coaches went down with an issue. And then when they told me who it was, I said, well, he might be the most fit person in this whole community. How in the world? But it's not good whether it's a child coach or anything, parent or anything like that. But that night changed a little bit for us because of our mindset was always, hey, something happens, we're going to call 911. Hey, fire department's right up the hill. Hey, they're here in a minute. And Caleb happened to be there. The cavalry was ready to ride. They were here in no time. But saying that, by the grace of God, Caleb was on the field. Connor coaches flag football, Caleb as well. Caleb happened to be on the same field right beside him and was first one to the scene and started helping Connor out. That opened our eyes, and I'll tell you why, because we have AEDs in our buildings, but we don't have them in our parks. We always thought people might vandalize them or things like that, but, you know, vandalism can be taken care of, but if it saves a life, worth every bit of vandalism in my world. But before I turn it over to Connor, as you know, he survived the medical issue. I want him to tell his story. I want him to talk about his foundation and how it is helping our community. It is directly impacting our rec department, how it's going to affect other rec departments and also schools. And so, again, and he's going to be followed by Caleb, who's going to say a few words. And, again, I can't thank you enough for your time, because this is worth hearing. Thank you.
I'm glad you don't have the countdown, because I was going to go into overtime. So apologies in advance. Really grateful for the opportunity to speak tonight. You know, an important fact that I've realized since my health incident is that everyone has a story, whether that's a personal health story or someone that we love and been impacted by it. You know, my story started about 6 months ago, coaching my son Decker 8 and under flag football through Simpsonville Parks and Rec, September 17th, 2026. was a Wednesday night, and like any other game, my son and I were in the truck, headed to Gracely Park, listening to NFL and college football intro songs, getting hyped up. And then about 10 minutes into that game, you know, I started feeling symptoms that I really couldn't place. Started feeling dizzy, and my vision started to blacken. My hearing started to fade, and I can remember breaking the huddle and executing a play. And the moment that the ball left my hands, I knew something was really wrong. I remember making my way to our home sideline and telling one of our assistant coaches that I don't feel good, that they might have to step in. And about 10 seconds later, I collapsed from sudden cardiac arrest. You know, my whole family was there. My wife was about 9 months pregnant at the time. My 11-year-old daughter was there on the bank. Of course, my 8-year-old son, Decker, was there. And my 2-year-old son was running around somewhere, burning this place down, I'm sure. And, you know, fortunately, Jesus' hands were all over it for where I had to be, but more importantly, who had to be there. And Caleb Carter is here tonight. And Caleb was coaching his son on the field right next to me, along with Zach Moore, who was a parent of that team. And they responded pretty much immediately and did CPR on me for 5 minutes. And as we all know, five minutes of CPR is a pretty long time. Until an AED arrived, along with Clayton and Chris and the rest of the teammates over here with Simpsonville Fire Department. And, you know, AEDs are wonderful, helped save my life, but they're worthless without Caleb and Zach doing CPR on me for that time, keeping me alive. I can remember fragments from that night. I can remember coming in and out of consciousness and seeing the field, blades of grass. I can remember hearing the gator or the golf cart that was coming, the engine of it. I can remember being put in the back of the ambulance, and I for dang sure remember the cardiovert that I received in the back of the ambulance. No one wants to go through that, but very grateful for it, whoever that was over there. I spent 3 nights in the hospital. And no one's, you can never be prepared for those type of emotions. I remember feeling super confused. 1 second I'm coaching my son, and 40 minutes later I'm in an ICU. And, you know, angry that someone who is metabolically healthy, that this happened to me, and fearful. You know, I had a procedure with an implanted ICD, and I was 33 years old at the time and really stubborn and saying, I am not getting this into my body. And my wife was like, you are getting this before we leave. So I got it. But the greatest emotion I felt was when I left the hospital and got home and I was met by my 3 kids who hugged, you know, who's there and saw what happened to Dad. Wasn't sure. You know, my wife was holding my head while they were doing CPR. She wasn't sure. She's aware enough that 5 minutes of CPR is, you know, lack of oxygen to the brain. Who knows, you know, what I'm going to be if I survive it. Again, fortunately, Jesus' hands were all over it, and I was in great care with Prisma and Greenville Memorial. And I wish I could say after those hugs and that night, thinking about it and surviving it, you know, it was all great from there. But, you know, the next 2 weeks were really difficult. We were sitting through it, talking about what had just happened, not wanting to suppress any emotions with my kids. And I really wasn't sure what to do with this. You know, I'm a person who has led my life with faith as best as I can. But something like this makes you ponder on purpose and, you know, what he wants from it. What does he want from me for this? If survivability national average is less than 10%, you know, why am I one of the 10? And then people started reaching out with their stories. And, you know, a good amount of stories similar to mine, courageous bystanders responding quickly. But, you know, the majority of stories were heartbreaking stories of a parent, a spouse, and a grandchild that didn't survive it. And that's when I realized that, you know, well, I'm breathing for a reason. And I had to be there at that exact moment when Caleb and Zach was there. I had to be at Gracely Park, which was attached to Simpsonville Fire Department with an AED, right? And those emotions and those stories is what led to Heart Huddle, which is a nonprofit organization committed to equipping communities with life-saving AEDs and CPR training. And I'm very thankful that Caleb is a part of our Heart Huddle team. And that led to conversations with Simpsonville Parks and Rec. And the very first mission for Heart Huddle was to invest in our backyard of where it happened. And so I'm very thankful for the leadership. I'm very proud of the partnership in this initiative to put five AEDs in our Parks and Rec. We have one here. It's pretty awesome. It's on the facility between the tennis courts, football fields, and the playground. We put two in Heritage, one at Alder, and one at Woodside. Now, keep in mind, Parks and Rec, you know, that was one of three fields that we practice or play on, right? And so that's, Lord willing, will never be used. But I'm certainly glad that there was one close by when I was here. And if it ever happens, an incident like mine, you know, it's better to be equipped, right? And before I hand it over to Caleb, I want to emphasize this. My story is not to plant seeds of fear for anyone. The reality is it doesn't discriminate, right? Sudden cardiac arrest does discriminate on age or gender. You know, I felt like I was pretty healthy. I never stopped training since my playing days. I was running half gassers the day before, right? But it still happened. And so it could happen to anyone. But those are not seeds of fear. My story is about what can happen when you're prepared. My story is about what can happen when you're equipped with life-saving equipment. And for courageous bystanders who know how to do CPR. And these guys are pros, right? But you do not need credentials to know how to do CPR to save a life. And so I would encourage everyone here to at least learn how to do hands-only CPR. So with that being said, I will hand it over to a pro and a good friend now, and as cheesy as it may sound, you know, a hero of mine and an angel of my family's. So, Caleb, appreciate you, man.
Hey, so I just want to thank Robbie and Chad for allowing us to place these AEDs in Simpsonville Parks and the rec fields. It's a great benefit, I think, to the citizens that I hope we never have to need. But the reality is, in our country, every year, there are almost 500,000 cases of sudden cardiac arrest that occurs. And like Connor said earlier, the national average is less than 10%. In fact, for the last 30 years, it's been about 7.5% survival rate of this. And it's not because we don't know how to treat sudden cardiac arrest. From a medical standpoint, it's a fairly simple treatment. The issue is timing. From the onset of cardiac arrest, every minute that care is delayed, a person has about 10% less likely to survive. But the good news is the opposite is true. So if CPR is initiated within the first minute, the chances of survival climb to 30%. And if an AED is used within the first 5 minutes of the onset of cardiac arrest, the chances of survival go up to 70%. With Chad and Robbie's help, we've placed the five AEDs Connor mentioned in strategic locations through the parks and rec fields so that they're not more than 5 minutes away from any area of the fields in Simpsonville. Hopefully we never have to use this, but we have that now as our benefit. And Robbie and I are working together to set a date so that we can do some training with his staff on CPR and AED use. And that's all I've got. Thank you for your time.
Please, if you would, come up to the microphone. Don't go too far, Officer Carter.
I'll take 30 seconds. You know, this is a shining example for other municipalities. We've already had City of Malden, Fountain Inn, and Powdersville reach out wanting to do the same thing. And so, you know, it's a flagship, shiny light that we're all here. So I think that's worth mentioning of the initiative. And these are what the AEDs look like that we've put in these parks. So once again, thank you and God bless.
If you will stay there next to the podium, Mr. Shaw, Mr. Carter. So what we want to do here is make a presentation to our training officer for the Simpsonville Fire Department, Caleb Carter. And kind of the reason I ask you to come up is to help me with that presentation. So. This is the Life-Saving Award for September 17th, 2025, which I think is a significant date in your past. So congratulations, and thank you so much for what you're doing for our community and other communities. So.
Yes, sir.
some pictures. There is an annual award ceremony that is put on by the Simpsonville Fire Department. The first one was done last year, and it is an incredible privilege to learn just how special the Simpsonville Fire Department is. Those numbers about survival rates and that kind of thing, they're higher in Simpsonville because of our firefighters. And it just goes on and on and on, the different places where they're making a difference in this community. And I'm honored to be asked again to make a couple of welcoming remarks and listening to what good things have happened in the last year. So well done, gentlemen. Well done. Item 4B, the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority Annual Action Plan. And at this time, I'll ask Francisco Arnaiz to come to the podium and make his presentation.
Test, test, test. Okay, it's working. good evening, Council. Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Mr. Coker. Good to see you again. My name is Francisco Arnaiz. I represent the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority. I'm the program manager there, and I'm happy to stand before you and talk about the upcoming budget and activities concerning the city of Simpsonville, and I'm also proud of the partnership that we have together. I'm going to go through a slideshow, about 10 slides, to kind of give you a context of why I'm here, what we're going to talk about, what the ask is, what the budget is, and what some projects are. And lastly, I'm also a resident of the city of Simpsonville. I'm proud to be one. Quick agenda, go through an introduction. Like I said, what we're doing here, types of funds that we work with, the budget for Simpsonville, and proposed activities, projects, and next steps. One thing, after we go over those activities and budgets, the public comment period that takes place here will also be an opportunity for a public comment on this presentation as well. So as a background for those who don't know, Greenville County Redevelopment Authority, we've been operating since about 1974. Greenville County receives an annual allocation from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for community development block grant funding, home investment partnership program funding, and emergency solutions grant funding. These funding sources typically cover creation of affordable housing, creation of public service programs, public facilities, infrastructure, and programs for people experiencing homelessness. Since the city of Simpsonville is within Greenville County, in order for the city of Simpsonville to still use these funds but not have to administer it themselves, we've entered into a urban county agreement which allows the Greenville County Redevelopment Authority to administer the funding on behalf of the city of Simpsonville. Essentially, we have the staff, we make recommendations, you guys tell us what the projects are, what the budgets are, and then we help you implement it. Every year we do a presentation at City Council that talks about the annual action plan. For the funding that we get, we have to put it into a written document saying what the expected resources are going to be, what the projects are going to be in the upcoming year, and how these meet our housing and community development goals. Part of this planning document is also an opportunity for public comment on the projects we're going to do. I mentioned earlier, we have three funding programs that we receive from HUD, CDBG, Home, and ESG. Annually, HUD releases an allocation amount. We then prorate that based on population, number of units of overcrowded units, and poverty numbers to come up to what that estimated budget is to be used in the city of Simpsonville. That comes up to approximately $200,000. And this is the division of the budget based on what types of activities we can do. These are general activities. We'll talk about specific programs next. So this is a resource available to Simpsonville. Anything that fits under benefit to low to moderate income persons What this can be used for is housing rehabilitation, public service programs, and public infrastructure and facility projects. For our other program, which is primarily concerned with building or rehabilitating either housing for sale or housing for rent, as long as it's benefiting households that are earning less than 80% of the area median income. That number changes every year. For a household of four, that's approximately $80,000 as a household income. Some of the housing programs that we offer, we can create new units. So if there's vacant land, GCRA can build a unit on it, sell it to a household that earns under 80% and therefore giving them an affordable place to live. We can also create housing and then rent it out. We can also rehabilitate units that need repair. We also provide a first-time homebuyer program, so people that are trying to get into a homeownership situation but might not have the down payment assistance, they can come to us to make up some of that gap in down payment to have an affordable payment. For investor homes, so folks that are renting out their house, if the house is in disrepair, we can provide funding to bring it up to code, make primarily health and safety improvements for the residents of that home. We have other programs, especially for people that are at risk of homelessness or experiencing homelessness. One organization that we fund in Simpsonville is Center for Community Services. When folks are falling behind on utility payments and end up with a past due bill, they can call that organization and we'll help get them caught up. Like I said, we're proud to work with the City of Simpsonville. We've done a lot of good projects here together. One of those projects is on the screen. This was a collaboration between GCRA and Habitat for Humanity in Sidney Wilson Court. We built out that court in partnership with Habitat, investing home funds into it in order to create and sell these units to households that are earning under 80% AMI in order to have their first home, essentially. Other past projects that are not on here, improvements to the senior center, which Robbie was here earlier. I work with Robbie pretty frequently. Typically we help support the senior programs that they have, anywhere from supplies and materials to replacement of exercise equipment, things like that. Anything that benefits seniors, it's an automatic eligibility pass, and we can use our funds to do that. Upcoming projects, College Street Park renovations. There's plans for doing some renovations at College Street Park, and that includes paving, upgraded sales, upgraded lighting, and other things which we're still working with city administrators to figure out what exactly that scope of work is, but this will be upcoming. Other sub-recipients we're investing money into, as I mentioned, the Center for Community Services, and then we also support the Senior Center and Simpsonville Parks and Rec for senior programs or youth programs as well. So we're still in the process of identifying ways to use this funding, but these are some of the earmarked activities for the upcoming year. Next steps, we accept public comment on that budget or on the proposed activities. That public comment period is open until the 27th of this month. Public comments can be submitted via email, which I'll share at the end of this slide. Simpsonville also will pass a resolution at the next meeting, which authorizes GCRA to continue to administer this funding on behalf of the city. Thank you for listening. Thank you for paying attention to what we have to present and for your participation. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you guys have.
Thank you, Mr. Arnaiz. Oops. Thank you, Mr. Arnaiz. Are there any questions from council? Councilmember O'Rear.
Just out of curiosity, what is the area median income per household?
So it's the household area family median income. It's based off of Greenville County. It's not to the specific municipality, but for a household of four, it's about $77,350.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, that's the 80% of area median income. Area median income's $97,300.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Council? Thank you, Mr. Arnaz.
Thank you.
Item 5, approval of the minutes for the February 10th, 2026 business meeting. Each member of council has received a copy of these minutes. Are there any corrections, additions, or deletions? Hearing none, the minutes will stand approved as submitted. Item 6, citizen comments. We had no one enroll to make comments this evening. Item 7, business. 7A, second reading of Ordinance O-2026-01. Mr. Coker, would you summarize for us, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, what you have before you at second reading is an ordinance that would authorize the administrator to approve essentially refinancing of a tranche of some of our sewer bonds. And so I spoke with our bond counsel yesterday. If council approves, then we already have some banks that I know are interested in submitting. And so as long as we're able to get a lower interest rate than what we're currently paying, it would certainly be advantageous to the city to take that.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes, Council, I move to approve the second reading of Ordinance 0-2026-01.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes. Yes. All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. 7B, first reading of Ordinance O-26-02. This is my item. So nothing really has changed since we had this at Committee of the Whole, but I'm just going to review very quickly. The compensation amounts for what mayor and council are paid are very difficult to find and are not currently available in any online searchable document. The proposed amendments to the current ordinance accomplishes these two goals. First, it makes the compensation easy to find. And then the second one is it provides a mechanism for council to consider incremental increases to the compensation for mayor and council. There has been no increase for council members in over 20 years. Before that was another 30 years before that. This amendment to the ordinance would ask the city administrator and finance director to recommend increases during election years. We can't do increases any other time than during an election year, but make a recommendation that would be equivalent to the COLA increases for city employees for the last 2 years. That does not take away city's agency or responsibility to either accept, increase, decrease, or reject the recommendation. We still have to consider it and vote on it as a council. I want to emphasize that this amendment to the ordinance does not have any proposed salary increase for council. There's no dollar figures in this. I was requested by a council member that it might be helpful to know what council members and mayors and mayor pro tem are paid in the other municipalities in the county. So I put together this chart. I think one of the interesting things here that I want to point out that's not included in the chart, but Greenville, Greer, and Malden have all given council and mayor significant pay bumps in the last 5 years. Typically around $5,000 each. I said 5 years. Greenville, actually, their increase was in 2017, so it's 9 years ago. So I don't know. That's just information there if you're interested. I mentioned last time that I have people who commonly are shocked when they hear the salaries that mayors and council members make in the county, that they for some reason they think that, oh, you have high and powerful positions. You must make high and mighty money. Well, that's not the case. It's not altogether that much money. One other thing I'll point out, that what this thing would do, if we were to approve increases for the next 20 years based on what has happened in the last 20 years with city staff pay, it will take 20 years for us to reach the level that is being paid in Malden. That's how slowly this, what I'm proposing, would increase the pay. So we're not talking about some kind of a step change or some kind of really remarkable increases. We're talking, you know, a couple hundred dollars, you know, a recommendation, not thousands upon thousands. So, Council, I move to approve on first reading of Ordinance O-2026-02, Mayor and Council Compensation.
Second.
The motion from Mayor Shoemaker, with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the effort you went into. I know this was a difficult task under the circumstances of some of the things that you were looking into. I guess after reviewing this, I got a little bit of concern about tying it to a two-year cycle and COLA. I mean, with a 2% COLA raise, it would be $160 a year or something for a councilman, which is not a lot of money. And I know it doesn't have to be approved, and I agree that it would take a long time to ever get to this point, but I just have a problem with just tying it to a COLA approval. That's really meant for the real employees. This isn't a base salary for me. This is not anything that I'm overly worried about. I was interested to see what other councils made. I'd be interested to see if there was a way that we could just have a one-time bump, if you want, to get it to more of the average. But as it stands, Mayor, I've opposed the way it's written as far as tying it to a COLA.
Councilmember O'Rear.
I too think this is an admirable thing to do. I think there's more than one way to skin a cat. And as a matter of fact, I talked to one of the school board members in Greenville whose budget is more than the county's, and they get paid $12,000 a year. So there's no one way up there and no one way down there. I think I want to ask council a question real quick, because I think the mayor alluded to something that may answer this question for me. Under 239A, council shall be from time to that the council's pay should be set from time to time in accordance with the code. Can we set that time frame? As in, because that's kind of going to be my proposal here.
Certainly. The only restriction you have is when you're adjusting salaries, they're not effective until after the next election. So regardless of whether or not you adopt the mayor's proposal or find another way to raise salaries, you have the flexibility and ability to do that, but you do have a time component of when it becomes effective.
Okay, so here's what I was looking at, because I'm all about simplifying difficult things if possible, and I'm kind of with Councilmember Pinkerton tying it to a COLA increase. Here's what I was thinking. I'm just thinking out loud and throwing this out there. And I ran this by Administrator Coker last week. We could amend it to do this every 5 years as part of the budget ordinance. It doesn't have to be tied to anything. It would be just tied to the recommendation of administration. And that would go, and I know we talked about this in the last meeting, and we, at that point, as a council, can decide whether to accept any kind of raise, or the recommendation may be nothing. It may be stick where you are, and we do that too. So it does serve multiple purposes. I think the thing would be the timing to the election thing. But I think if we were to do this as a matter of budget ordinance every 5 years, and have the administration decide at that point whatever variables they want to use via whether it's COLA, whether it's the corresponding salaries of other municipalities, and then come to council with their recommendation, just like they do every other budget line item, and then we can decide at that point. But I think a five-year cycle, and we'll never really catch up, because it would take, I think, about $4,000 pay to catch up from a cost of living standpoint from the last raise, and I don't think any of us up here are willing to do that. But that's what I would like to look at. I like the effort here, but I think we can do this in a more simple manner as long as we can do the timing with the elections. And so I'll run that by and let other council comment and see the thoughts. Thank you.
Council? Councilmember Roche.
I'm comfortable with the way you've written it. I think it makes sense to tie it to the conversation with city employees overall, because that goes into the budget. It makes sense to have one conversation about pay for employees and council all at one time, and it would be smaller increments and annually. I like the idea of that.
Council? Disregard, Councilmember Pickering, go ahead.
Mayor, parts of it that I did like in here is that we're putting in the mayor pro tem, and the council member's salary in here, and because I don't believe that's really listed right now. It's probably one of the original problems with this in the first place. Again, I'm not necessarily for voting myself for a raise, but I just am opposed to just tying it to a COLA at this point.
So I want to comment a little bit on the timing issue, that a couple of concerns I have with stretching out the time. One is that we would be getting back into fairly, bigger step changes. And the bigger step change, I think, is politically more difficult for a council to vote for. A small increase on a more frequent basis is something I think that is more palatable from a political standpoint and also from a practical standpoint. Also, it kicks the legs out from under doing a major step change like some of these other cities have done, because you can go, well, you've been giving yourself consistent raises over the years. You shouldn't need to give yourself a big raise, which is, like I say, what other councils have done. One other thing, I'm glad you chose 5 years, although because you have to have an intervening election where at least two council members are sworn in before the raise would take effect. So if you're doing an odd number of years, every other time it's going to land in an off year, and it's going to take a year and a half for that increase to take effect. So you could have, two raises fairly close together, and then a real long period between. It just would be something that would create kind of an odd cadence. But if you go with every 4 years during election year, now your cadence is always going to land on the same ward as being the next people to be elected. So you could end up with kind of an imbalance. And that's kind of why I put it on every other year type thing, so that it picks up the election cycle that flips back and forth between wards 1, 3, and 5, and 2, 4, and 6. Of course, the mayor is elected with 1, 3, and 5. So, I think the timing is good. I think it keeps us out of having this, step change kind of discussion, which I think is more difficult. So, I'd like to keep it the way it is. So, any further comments from council? Hearing no further comments from council, I will call for the vote. On first reading of Ordinance O-2026-02, Mayor and Council Compensation, all those in favor signify by saying yes. Yes. All those opposed signify by saying no.
No.
All right. If you would, do a roll call vote, please, Administrator.
Councilmember Arrear.
No.
Councilmember Root.
No.
Councilmember Williams. Councilmember Roche.
Yes.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
No.
Councilmember Tuso?
No.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Yes. That motion fails by a vote of 2-4. Item 7C, first reading of Ordinance O-26-03 to amend Division 2, Junk or Abandoned Vehicles of Article 2, Nuisances of Chapter 18, Environment. Mr. Derby, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Council. Good evening. Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. I want to apologize. The meeting packet did not have the ordinance in it. It was brought to your email to you kind of the last minute. Nothing has changed with the ordinance. I will say the language is still the same. We did include the definition of derelict vehicle. Ms. Roche, you asked about that at the last meeting. This is to recap, to kind of clarify and clean up the junk and abandoned automobile section of our code of ordinances regarding where they're allowed to be stored on residential properties. The discrepancy is that it talks about an area, derelict vehicle, just more specific and says inside of a building. So that's to help with code enforcement with derelict vehicles and junk cars. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve first reading of Ordinance O-2026-03 to amend Division 2, Junk or Abandoned Vehicles of Article 2, Nuisances of Chapter 18, Environment.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Councilmember O'Rear?
I think you answered my questions last time. I did kind of want to point out we have an abandoned vehicle right there at the island at College in Maine. It's been there for 3 days now. If y'all have seen the small black SUV, it's been parked at the island for 3 days.
Councilmember O'Rear, we're here to discuss policy. Your comments are not germane.
It's an abandoned vehicle. So I just want to point that out. But I appreciate this and we'll vote for it. It's not a problem.
Council? Hearing no further comments, I'll call for the vote. On first reading of Ordinance O-2026-03, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you.
Item 7D, Resolution R-2026-06. Administrator Coker, would you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, as you know, the city recently signed an 11-year contract agreement with Opry Entertainment Group for the management of our amphitheater at Heritage Park. As part of that arrangement, the city agreed to work with Opry Entertainment Group to facilitate their ability to basically manage the naming rights of the facility. And so what you have before you, this resolution, it essentially allows the city to fulfill really those obligations at an accelerated rate. So we're able to hand off that arrangement so that CCMB and Opry can essentially work together on a future naming rights agreement. And it also cleans up some of the original contract that sort of wove banking services and the contract naming agreement, the venue naming agreement together.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve Resolution R-2026-06 to approve a second amendment to the amphitheater naming rights and banking services agreement and authorize the mayor to execute the second amendment.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Roop. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Item 7E, Resolution R-2026-07. Administrator Coker, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Mayor, Council, what you have before you would allow or authorize the city to participate in the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. And so council authorization would provide a 25% local match for three projects that would contribute to stormwater conditions on the Durbin Creek tributary. And so two of those projects would be a would be culvert related, and the third would be a buyout of a residential property.
Thank you. A motion is in order. Councilmember Pinkerton.
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I move to approve resolution R-202607 to authorize a local fund match for hazard mitigation grants project to support stormwater improvements, including the acquisition of real property in the city of Simpsonville.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember Roche. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 6-0. This concludes all of the business that's on our agenda this evening. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.